We also have third placed KBOO, best nonprofit. We also won the Mick Crenshaw Best Hip Hop, Best DJ with DJ Anjali and the Incredible Kid, and also Best Radio Personality, third place with Contessa De La Luna.
And we would love our returning members to call, and why not increase your pledge right now? $60 a year is only about $60 is only about $5 monthly, and you can do an EFT conversion. And please consider upping that a little bit to $6. That'll be $72 a year. $6.25 is $75 a year. Please give us a call. Support our host here at Labor Radio. Let them know our hosts love to hear from you. They'd love to hear your input, your feedback. Give us a call right now, 877-500-5266.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always?
They won't build no schools anymore. They won't build no hospitals. They won't build no schools anymore. They won't build no hospitals. All they build will be prisons for some. All they build will be prisons for some. All they build will be prisons for some.
Yeah, good evening, greetings, and welcome to Prison Pipeline. I'm your host, Adam Carpinelli. Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding the institution of incarceration. This evening, we're focusing on the follow-up and debriefing from the September 9th action that happened here in Portland about a week ago. If you didn't hear about September 9th, September 9th was a national call for a prisoner strike around the country to detest prison slavery and white supremacy. So we're here with a couple of folks who have been organizing around that locally, regionally, and nationally with a few different organizations. So maybe we'll just do a quick just go around, just say your name and your organization, please.
Sure, I'm Benny with Black Lives Matter Portland and the All African People's Revolutionary Party.
And my name is Tyler Durden. I'm from the Portland Anarchist Black Cross.
Cole Dorsey, Incarcerated Workers Organizing Committee and Industrial Workers of the World.
All right, thank you. Thanks so much for being here. We'd love to hear more about what that organizing looks like, what happened on September 9th, what is happening now on the ground, because September 9th is only one day that's leading up to a lot of different things. It's commemorating Attica as well. So starting with Tyler and or Cole, you want to give a quick debrief as to what has been happening since September 9th?
Sure. So, yeah, in Portland, we had over 500 people hit the streets. We did a noise demonstration at the Justice Center. Nationally, right now, we got over 20 different prisons across the country that are going on a continuing strike. We had 45 cities across this country come out in solidarity, taking a stand with prisoners and against white supremacy. So what we're building right now is a national movement for prison abolition.
Okay, Cole, can you talk a little bit about what happened in the Bay Area? And if you folks want to add some caveats about some, maybe if there's any national statistics or numbers, other places that we know that there were actions, and specifically where prisoners were striking in large numbers. A lot of places went on lockdown all over Oregon and the country at large.
Yeah, that was a lot. So, yeah, in Oakland, we had 300 people come out from a number of different organizations, and we went to some of the profiteers, the prison labor, and AT&T, UPS, some people decided to change the facade of the Bank of America while we were there, and we were able to get within a block of the county jail before we made a tactical decision to keep the intersection, and then we made enough noise. There was plenty of fireworks, plenty of noise going on. So the important part, here locally, was just to come out in force, and then also to try to continue to build IWOC and build prisoner support beyond September 9th. That was the important part, is the fact that it's just the beginning. So what we know across the country, you know, specifically here in Merced and California closely, we've got five units in two different county jails in Merced that are on a hunger strike. I've been in communication, spoke with them last night, and they got a captain coming, was supposed to come today, and then they just told me that they've got more administration coming tomorrow, and they say they're willing to negotiate, so we'll see what happens. I'm going to get an update about that tomorrow. We also have members at Chowchilla Women's Prison. We know they've been on lockdown. We don't have communication back yet whether they're off lockdown yet. We know that we do have members there. They refuse to go to work. We know there was four prisons in Florida that were on lockdown, or because specifically prisoners refused to work. South Carolina inmates have a list of demands. They refuse to go to work. In Kinross, Michigan, where I had some friends a while back, there was 150 prisoners that had a demonstration in the yard and demanded to meet with the warden, and met with the warden, and it was shortly after everybody returned back to their cell blocks that they came, raided the cell blocks, and took out who they identified as leaders and transported them to other places. That's kind of why we feel this outside support network is so important, because, you know, it's so easy for them to move these people from one institution for another. But if our network is strong enough, then it doesn't mean we lose contact or we lose anything other than the morale of the people that they're affiliated with. But we know 29 prisons were affected, so preemptively, like you already mentioned, they didn't want the prisoners to take the glory for any kind of collective direct action as far as strikes, so they preemptively locked down a number of prisons other than the ones that didn't go to work. We know 29 prisons were affected, which amounts to about 24,000 prisoners who didn't go to work. Some are still on lockdown, so that's the important part, is how this will continue. And we know this is just the beginning, but you know, we know that the guards can't run the prison. So this hopefully will be a stepping stone to more collective direct action, but also us being able to respond on the outside in a real positive, collective way.
Thanks, Colt. You know, there's a lot of people that have been engaging in this work on the outside and inside. Talking about some of the folks on the outside, can we just briefly talk about some of the organizations that we're affiliated with and kind of what's that about? So, Benny, BLM, if folks don't know about Black Lives Matter, then they better be listening a lot right now. So can you just say a little bit about the group in Portland and how people get involved or what have you?
Yeah. So Black Lives Matter Portland is an organization of Black and African folks only who are, you know, committed to fighting for liberation for Black people and African people. Some of the specific things that we work on here are prison abolition. We have a community medic training coming up. We have a new program that we're pretty excited about, called the Portland Black School of Thought, where we're working to train new and upcoming organizers into how to do this kind of work, which we're pretty excited about. The community medic training is coming up on September 24th. That's going to teach folks, you know, how to take care of their friends and families, especially, you know, there's a lot of places where the police don't come very, very quickly or at all if you're in trouble. So we have some great folks who are actually coming from the Bay Area, a couple of great grandmothers who developed this program. And so we're excited to be able to learn from them. Also, the All African People's Revolutionary Party is another organization, a Pan-African organization committed to one unified socialist Africa. We have a program that we just started called SOAR, the School of African Roots, which is a free cultural education program for children. So you can check that out on Facebook, also on the AAPRP's website, and also you can search SOAR, School of African Roots, on Facebook too. And yeah, so as far as the organizing that we did here, as far, you know, with September 9th, we also helped coordinate a couple of other organizations, Surge, Showing Up for Racial Justice, mm-hmm. Portland, and MBAC, the Maryland Buck Abolitionist Collective, who we work with, who are groups of white accomplices and allies. And we helped shut down the Max for about 2.5 hours in Southwest downtown. And gave out over 150 sack lunches to folks who were off the bus, a lot of youth who were making it home. We did this out front of McDonald's to protest their profiteering and their use of prison labor, both to flash freeze patties and produce food, and also the sewing of uniforms and the making of plastic cutlery. And yeah, we call for an end to prison slavery. We call for an abolition of the prisons and an abolition of the police. We know that we can do it better in our communities.
Great. So you mentioned a few of the groups are involved. There's probably at least another 15 to 20 groups that are listed in the coalition. It sounds like a lot of these groups, obviously there's no problem thinking about the direct connections with prison labor today and legacy of slavery and genocide. And part of, you know, being a part of this decolonization movement. Can you talk a little bit about Anarchist Black Cross in Portland? And are there any events coming up for people to plug into the continuum of the September 9th organizing?
Right. So the Portland Anarchist Black Cross is a revolutionary anarchist organization. Most of our work focuses on prison and police abolition. We also do things around anti-displacement and anti-gentrification work in the past. Part and parcel of some of our work on the inside is we run a prison newsletter written by and for prisoners across the state of Oregon that has distribution to about 130 prisoners across the state. We are in several different, we're on probably a dozen different facilities there. We run a zine distribution for prisoners on the inside. We assist prisoners who are working to create study groups. And we really try to encourage anti-racist work that's connecting, drawing parallels between white supremacy, capitalism, and the state. You know, in Portland, right now in Gresham, we had the murder of Larnell Bruce by European Kindred white supremacist gang members. Now, European Kindred is a white supremacist gang that has over 300 members in East Portland, and they come from the prison system. They recruit from the prison system. So we feel it's having an anti-racist analysis is very important in our work. You know, so what we have coming up here on the 22nd at the Social Justice Action Center off 400 Southeast 12th Avenue in Portland, we're going to be doing an open meeting and orientation about Portland ABC and the Portland Incarcerated Workers Organizing Committee, who I'm also a member of. On the 29th, we're going to have another IWOC meeting, and following up right now, there's something tangible that people can do. We're asking for people across the state, across the country, to call in to support Oregon prisoner workers right now at Deer Ridge Correctional Institution in Madras. Several prison members of IWOC were put on preemptive lockdown on September 9th. All of the kitchen workers there were also put into the hole. Prisoners are asking people to call in and protest, ask them to comply with the Oregon state standards for health and safety of prison food, as prisoners are getting moldy, rotten, expired food on a daily basis, not being served adequate portions. And people can go to our website, pdxabc.org, to find more information about that. Also look us up on Facebook, and we're asking people call the superintendent, Tim Cossey, at 541-325-5999, extension 526. Again, that's Tim Cossey at 541-325-5999, extension 5266. Give him a call. It's very important.
Thanks. Cole, are you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, can you tell us about the Incarcerated Worker Organizing Committee?
Sure, yeah. I mean, it was 2014, saw the home and prison riots, and then the same year they had a work stoppage, and there was members of the IWW that started working with the Free Alabama Movement at that time. And then it was shortly after that that inmates from Texas contacted the union directly and said they were interested in organizing. So it was because of a collection of those things that we started working closely with the Free Alabama Movement, the other ones, Free Ohio Movement, Free Mississippi Movement. But basically we're a liaison, you know, for prisoners to know what's going on with other prisoners, what's going on with the outside world, and to build solid bridges with these people. So a large part of our work is, facilitating, you know, like discussion groups or branch building within the institutions, which can amount to begin as like a discussion group over books, and then we also are encouraging family members, you know, to get involved as a part of this process. It has grown now to almost 800 members across 36 states. We've got over 200 in California here. And continues to grow. People are interested. In 1977, the Supreme Court said that workers couldn't unionize because it could be considered a threat to the security of the institution. But what we know, and I think what September 9th kind of proves, is that we don't. Their laws don't necessarily matter. If we can have class solidarity amongst prisoners, amongst people across the working class, we can get a lot accomplished. So the important part is to see. You know, like I said, Merced is about to meet with administration tomorrow, and these other institutions, once they come off lockdown, we'll see how the prisoners respond, you know. But we know, hopefully, we know the effect that it can have from September 9th. So mm-hmm. Now we just got to build and make stronger and make the next one even better.
Right, thanks. For folks just tuning in, we're here with Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland 90.7. We're with Tyler Durden, the Portland Anarchist Black Cross, Cole Dorsey with the Incarcerated Worker Organizing Committee, and Benny Hall from Portland Black Lives Matter and the All-African People's Revolutionary Party. So as we start to kind of wind down, a lot of things have been talked about, different organizations and some of the background there. Can we just talk for a few minutes about really this whole issue of prison slavery? What does it mean to you, to the organizations you're working with? Just give some, you know, if you have any particular
sure.
anecdotes or statistics on that.
Sure. We know that there's a direct line, from the plantation to the prison. The 13th Amendment, which was supposed to end slavery, also said that slavery could be ended except for punishment for the committing of a crime. So what we know is that the prison system in the United States and across the world is home to over 2.5 million individuals. These are our brothers and sisters, friends and family, mothers and fathers, you know. And we know that the prison system itself is a system of racialized and class-based control that is meant to create a permanent underclass of cheap and disposable and expendable labor and control political enemies of the state. So when we call for an abolition of the prison, we understand that all prisoners are political prisoners, that the slave, you know, that forcing people to work for these multi-million dollar corporations for pennies an hour under terrible conditions is inhumane and is essentially no different than what was happening 200 years ago on the plantation.
Cole, can you talk about writing to prisoners and the importance of what that means?
Yeah, I mean, I can, from my personal experience, I did a few years in Michigan, and I know that to get contact from the outside world meant a lot. Mm-hmm. And because most people don't write, you know, you don't write a letter anymore. You email or you send a right. text or whatever it is. So to take the time to write an email or to send a picture or send a book can mean the difference in somebody's day or week. So I remember what it meant to me. So it's kind of important to me that, you know, I do at least one every night and then several. You know, there's a lot I keep in constant correspondence with. So, but the what we found, like, most recently, Pelican Bay, some information is being, his administration has heard about September 9th coming, that they have started restricting the mail and saying that it could be disruptive to the institution. So we're in the process, you know, we have to adapt, you know, as they consider us more of a threat because of the potential that they see that the prisoners have, that in the way that we're able to amplify and support them on the outside, we have to adapt our tactics, and we are able to do that. So we're fortunate that a lot of inmates have cell phones, and we take advantage of that. And for those that don't, we do the snail mail, but also, you know, that's why it's important that we get families involved, and people that don't have families, that we visit them, and so they can get this information out, and they know they're not forgotten. You know, whether they're lifers or they're getting out in 2 weeks, they're still part of the working class. They're still people that we haven't forgotten. So that's what's important about the writing letters and keeping in contact.
Right on. And folks interested in the work of Incarcerated Worker Organizing Committee, what are some ways people can get involved, or what they should they look out for as far as social media and websites?
Oh, yeah. So websites are iwalk.noblogs.org, supportprisonerresistance.net. You should definitely check out the freealabamamovement.com. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, there's across Facebook, there's Incarcerated Workers Organizing Committee in different cities. We got Oakland, and there's the main one. And so those are the main ones I would suggest.
Mm-hmm. Great. And for Black Lives Matter Portland, social media, contact info, how do people plug in?
Yeah, so you can check us out on Facebook. It's Black Lives Matter Portland. Also on Tumblr and Instagram, Black Lives Matter PDX. And send us a message in the inbox, and that's a really great way for us to get in touch with you.
Right on. Tyler.
Yeah, so you can check out for the Portland Anarchist Black Cross, pdxabc.org. You can find us on Facebook at Portland ABC. Also, so get on us at Facebook. We're going to be having IWalk ABC open house again on the 22nd and following up with another IWalk meeting on the 29th. So there's a lot of stuff coming up.
Okay, and where do you folks see, just kind of brief comments, where do you see September 9th going at this point? Obviously, it's too soon to even tell right now the scope of the ripples effect this is creating inside and outside, but what do you see kind of for kind of maybe long-term vision or what have you with the organizing?
Well, you know, from our correspondence with, like, guys on the inside here in Oregon, you know, there's a desire to see this become a reoccurring national thing annually, every September 9th. I think, you know, this first September 9th was the beginning of a prison abolitionist movement. It was the beginning of our generation of prisoners on the inside to see that, you know, the people on the outside are there, they're supportive, they're standing in solidarity, there's organizations that they can plug into by and for prisoners like IWalk that are nationally built and can build power. And, you know, we do have the capacity to affect our captors, to take damage against them, and to, you know, to one day eventually abolish these prisons, and, you know, so on and so forth. So I think, you know, it's going to take a lot of people on the outside to get engaged with these organizations that we've all mentioned here today, and to step up to the plate, do things like get on the call that I mentioned, you know, and, you know, together we can have an impact. We can, you know, take out this rotten system.
Thanks. Cole, you any closing comments?
Just build on that, and that we learn from what's already happened, and that we continue, I think, the important part, September 9th, a lot of major media didn't, you know, cover it. Some did, just a couple. We got the leftist publications, but now, luckily, we have our own media to try to get the word out as much as we can. But the important part is that we build on this and that it continues to be a movement. It's already now become a national discussion. And hopefully the goal can be to take away the incentive for these corporations. So put pressure like Whole Foods to stop mm-hmm. using prison slavery suppliers. So potentially put pressure on these other people and on the state. We continue to draw the connection between white supremacy, institution of racism, and mass incarceration, and we build on this, and it becomes stronger and stronger.
And Cole, you are so right that the bourgeois press media is not really talking about this, and you heard it first here on KBOO 90.7 FM, and we are also in our pledge drive, so we got to rep that, and we have some very wonderful and lovely, capable people that will be speaking to you about that in just a moment. So you've been listening to Prison Pipeline on KBOO Portland 90.7 FM. Listen to this and previous Prison Pipeline programs at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. Like Prison Pipeline on Facebook. I want to thank our guests here, Tyler Durden, Dorsey Cole, and Benny Hall. We'll have you guys on again very, very soon. I think we should do a special BLM show in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, I'd love to.
Right on. Thanks to our lovely engineer, Daniel Parks. Have a great evening. Free them all, and we'll see you next week.
Thanks.
Thank you, Adam Carpinelli and Prison Pipeline and all your wonderful guests tonight. Please give us a call, 877-500-5266. Please get involved today. Make a commitment. Participate in your radio station and in your community. You just heard the voices, the organizers of this September 9th event here in Portland. Now, if you turned on your mainstream media news, your 11 o'clock hour news, what you saw was, a bunch of people downtown Portland, those anarchists, blocking traffic. I could not get home from work today. You didn't hear the rest of the story. That's not what you heard on the mainstream media. This is the rest of the story. These are the organizers from Black Lives Matter, Anarchist Black Cross, and the Incarcerated Workers Organizing Committee who organized that event. These folks are committed. They are intelligent, educated, and know the issue and are passionate and believe that something should be done about the prison industrial complex. And as Prison Pipeline is working to raise those prisons to the ground, we are asking you to raise some dollars for KBOO right now. And Rieg, how can they do that?
They can do that by calling in at 877-500-5266. And as I mentioned earlier, if you care about community, you'd care about community radio. So please consider becoming a sustaining member. Our most popular contribution is about $8 a month, but for $10 a month, you'll receive a lovely t-shirt by artist Anna Vo and is only available during this drive. So call in at 877-500-5266.
And this September 9th event, again, that happened in Portland and all across the country, it was a national prisoner strike, a call for action to shut the prisons down, to stop activities in the prison, stop the working workers. And it was also a remembrance of the 1971 Attica prison uprising in New York. I bet you didn't hear that on the mainstream media either. And the Attica rebellion in 1971 was just one of a chain of jail and prison rebellions around the country. And one of the events that led to that Attica rebellion was the murder of Black Panther George Jackson by prison guards for having the audacity to be a revolutionary in prison. And he was in a California prison sentenced for a $70 robbery. And it was a time that everybody came together to support the Attica uprising. All the prisoners, Black, Latino, white, took part in that revolt, and they were united. And that's what we're asking. That's what the September 9th action was about, uniting the prisoners and giving them a voice. And that's what we do here at KBOO. We give people that otherwise are not heard a voice. So please give us a call. Please call. Again, Rieg?
The number is 877-500-5266, and you can also give online at kboo.fm.
And, you know, Amy Goodman was just, there was an arrest warrant out for her for having, again, the audacity to go to Standing Rock, the Sioux Reservation, to cover the growing opposition to the Dakota Access Pipeline. This is what's coming of our media. The corporate structure out there does not want us to hear the real story. They do not want us to work against the criminal injustice system or the corporate America. And so KABU is so needed and so important at this particular time in history when we have the presidential candidates who I think they've lost their minds, actually, and have no idea of what they're talking about, have no facts. They do not back up their statements with facts. We have one presidential candidate that just keeps running after trying to outdo, you know, his competition. And it's, I don't know. Folks, we need KABU more than ever. Please give us a call, 877-500-5266. What else we got, Reg, here?
Yes, and you can also give online again at kboo.fm. And here at KABU, we love to show the love, and we please invite you to show the love for KABU as well. For this drive only, we are offering a t-shirt by artist Anna Vo for $10 a month contribution. This t-shirt is yours. Please step on in.
Okay, one more time, 877-500-5266.
KABU would like to thank our community partners that donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Cadillac Cafe, serving breakfast and lunch 7 days a week at 1801 Northeast Broadway. Lunch was provided by Santa Fe Taqueria, a Mexican restaurant at 831 Northwest